You are now listening to a brand new episode of Starfleet Escape Podcast, only on the Four-Eyed Radio Network, also known as the FUN!
Starfleet Escape Podcast. Prepare for launch in 3, 2, 1. Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to the Starfleet Escape Podcast on the Four-Eyed Radio Network, where we escape into the Star Trek universe. I'm Marty.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Eric.
This is episode number 26, and it's being recorded on August 8th, 2013. Today's topic, TNG movies, the continuation.
This episode is brought to you by America Joy Print Shop, official sponsor of the Four-Eyed Radio Network. For high-quality business cards, flyers, banners, cut vinyl, and more, visit AmericaJoy.com.
Hey, guys.
Hey. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
I am recovering from a week of feeling like crap, so...
Well, would you have the flu?
I just had aches and pains associated with being 31, I guess. I have no idea.
You're getting old, man.
I know. The bones are cracking. And
imagine when you get to 35 like me.
Yeah, I'll probably be dead, so cool.
Yeah, I already am.
Get that to look forward to.
Yeah. Well, this is exciting. We've been on the air for a year.
Yeah, it's crazy to think. It doesn't seem like it's been
a year. I haven't been on a year.
I was going to say, we've been on the air for a year.
Yeah, but the show as a whole has been on air. For a year, and it's been an exciting year, I think.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it go by fast?
It went by really quick.
Yeah, extremely fast.
Every other week for a year?
Off and on. For the most part?
Yep.
Except for, we did take a little Christmas hiatus.
Yes, we did, and nobody got killed.
No.
Thank God.
Yeah. Maybe on Quonos it would be a different story.
But, so the first episode was on Blog Talk Radio.
Yep, it aired on Blog Talk Radio. That was before we had a dedicated iTunes feed.
Didn't that start early this year?
Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't know. I'm not sure if the network even had one until fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
But now we are, and it makes us official.
Yeah, because everyone loves iTunes.
I know I do.
Marty is shaking his head. I guess he doesn't. But yeah, so happy anniversary. Our first episode.
What'd you get me?
Your contract. Your contract was renewed for another year.
Great. At the same pay rate, right?
Yes, same pay. So
wait, we get paid for this?
Oh, don't. Whoops. Cats out of the bag. No, we don't. We don't.
No, we don't get paid. In fact, we may have to pay somebody else to do it. No.
We're doing this for the love of the fans and the love of Star Trek.
Yes, love of Star Trek.
You know, about 10 years ago, the love of the fans would have been something different for me. Anyways, so what's going on, guys?
Not much. So Eric's dying. You're
getting over a root canal.
I'm dying so much that I could not, wasn't able to enter the We Love Fine Star Trek contest, and I'm pissed.
Yeah.
You weren't?
I'm crying deep inside. I didn't have the energy to finish any of my designs.
Wow.
It was horrible.
I'm
crying inside, and I hope they have a third Star Trek contest.
He's a crying on the inside clown.
Yeah, very sad panda. But Aaron was able to.
Yep, so I have two designs I uploaded. I was originally only going to upload one, but Eric convinced me to do two.
Hey, I saw that. It went back and forth. I'm like...
Yeah, well, I didn't think it was good enough, but
I thought it was, because I believe in you, damn it.
Oh, thank you.
So, there you go. You better win.
I know, right?
You better win.
We're going to plug that so hard on this podcast. You heard.
You heard.
So,
yeah, we are. So, guys, be prepared for that.
Prepare for the onslaught.
Of a plugging?
Of awesomeness.
Of awesomeness, yeah. Yeah, so that'll be cool.
What do you win if it gets picked?
I don't know. Is it like
I don't know.
$2,500 and...
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't care about that.
I don't, really.
And even the third place or fourth place, or, I mean...
It's 500,
doesn't it? You get cash and... Or you could have your shirt featured on StarTrek.com as one of their featured products.
Yeah, I think it would just be cool to have someone wearing my design. That's all I really want. I don't really care
that
much
about the
money.
It'd be cool to have somebody wearing your clothes, huh? I mean, wait a minute, it's not your clothes. No, it's
really a good feeling. Someone on Twitter said that they bought my shirt and that they're going to wear it. And I was like, oh my God, I got so excited. I'm like, post pictures, I want to see. So yeah, it's a good feeling. So yeah. I hope you win, because that would be awesome.
Yes, yes, it would. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, but I'm going to win the next one, just so you know.
Yeah, I know. You conveniently took yourself out of the competition just so that I wouldn't beat you. But that's okay. That's all right.
Oh, I see how it is. That's not the reason, but okay.
You know, the last time we told them we were going to beat them, we didn't beat them.
What was that?
Bruins versus...
Ah, don't bring that up.
Oh, that's right. Oh, who has the track record here? 1-0. Thanks, we'll Marty, for the reminder.
Yeah, thanks, Marty. Thanks.
He's got my back, really. Yeah.
All right, so why don't we get into this?
Why don't we get into this?
Yeah. So we had a crossover episode with the Dr. Sci-Fi Show.
Is this like a Mirror Universe crossover?
Well, wait a minute. I don't have a beard today, so it could be.
Well, you did.
I shaved
during...
Oh, yeah.
Crossover.
And he has one all the time, so it must be. And you do, too.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, so...
This took him 3 whole months to grow.
No, it's, like, a long time. I just shaved. I just shaved this morning.
I just shaved an hour ago.
So he's doing a month-long series on Star Trek podcasters, and we were happy and honored to take part.
That month is, what, one day long? No, just kidding.
Well, not...
How many people actually do... Have we even looked into that?
How many people do Star Trek podcasts? Like a billion
A lot
people.
Of them.
Really?
Yeah.
So his month is going to be a billion days long?
No.
You could say it's the best of the best.
The
no,
best
true.
Of the best, yes.
I will go with that, even though that's probably not the case.
The best of all worlds.
Hey, I have to say, we do...
How about that one? The best of all worlds.
So. No, I was just going to say, we do a damn good job, so
yes,
no
do.
Wonder.
Yeah.
No wonder
yeah.
we got featured.
No, it's always easy to pat ourselves on the back. It really is.
Yeah, on our own show. Yeah.
Yes. Stop doubting us, Aaron.
So that episode will be live on Friday, August 9th.
It'll
so
be
by
live.
The time people, by the time people hear this, it'll
yeah.
be out.
Yeah.
It'll be live.
So you could find that at drsci-fi.com/the Dr. Sci-Fi Show.
Yes. And I've had the opportunity...
Aptly named.
Yeah. I've had the opportunity to listen to a few of his shows, and he does a really good job. It's a great podcast, and they have a lot of great guest stars on, so it's a good job.
Yeah, I
good
agree.
Good podcast.
Yeah, totally. Hopefully we'll be able to do another crossover, and he'll be able to be on our show.
It's podtastic.
Podtastic. We have room in the escape pod for one more.
I don't know. It really holds so many.
Yeah. So, the official Star Trek 2013 Vegas convention...
Vegas!
...will be held, or has been held, since this is coming out later, August 8th through the 11th.
What happens in Vegas stays on Delta Vegas. Wait a minute.
So, yeah, I think that's why there isn't that much new news coming out right now. Because
they're hoarding it all.
They're saving it. They're saving it for the convention.
They're hoarding it all!
Our previous guest host, Rachel, is actually there.
Right.
And I am super jealous.
I am jealous.
Yeah.
Me too. So, hopefully, maybe we can get her on.
We
got to
go next
year.
We should make a trip. All three of us should meet up and go to...
Oh, I cannot do that next year. I'm already committed to two big conventions.
So. Okay, so the two of us should get together.
Get together.
Which ones are you committed to?
Well, I'm going to... I have an opportunity to go to Toy Fair in New York, the New York Toy Fair.
Oh, that sounds cool. When's that?
In February.
I might go to that.
And then I think you might be able to apply. I mean, it's for like media and news outlets only, but since we have a podcast, I think you should be able to get in.
Oh, considered media, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, they might have new Star Trek toys there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we talk about Star Trek toys all the time.
Yeah, we do. We've got street cred.
Yeah, true that.
And then I'll also be going to the official Power Morphicon convention in
August.
Where's
that being held?
In San Diego. So yeah, all my money and focus will be going to
those. Now, what does it cost to go to the Morph one? Just out of curiosity.
Well, they have different
levels.
Membership levels, and the membership level I'm getting, because it's my first time going,
yeah,
is the Platinum level, which is like a $300 ticket.
Wow.
But you get a ton of stuff with that.
Oh, and so you get swag.
You get a ton of swag. Yeah. And it's limited to 50 people, and you get a whole bunch of cool so.
Wow, you got in, one of 50.
Well, I should say that the tickets aren't being sold until a couple weeks, so I hope I get in. But I already have the money set aside. So.
Now, here's a question. If you don't get that, would you consider going to the other thing?
Oh, no, I'm going to this convention either way. I'll just do another membership level. Yeah, like, I'm going to this no matter what.
I'm going to do pink level. No, just kidding.
They do have a pink level.
Do they? Do they do all the colors of the?
Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, I would love to go to the official Star Trek convention.
See, I've been to a couple of convention like things, not a real official convention. Go. I mean, especially when we were doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time. Yeah. We just missed Comic-Con in Boston.
Comic-Con
in Chicago is this weekend, and I can't make it. So. Yeah.
Probably grab it somewhere else. I mean,
well, they do them all over.
Yeah. There's one in Orlando soon, I think.
Quite possibly.
Go down to Disney, stay at my mother's place.
So, something else that's not exactly Star Trek related.
Wait a minute, hold on.
But is pretty awesome and is based on something kind of Star Trek related.
Sure.
So the adventures of Space Marshal Dylan McCade was originally a Captain Proton story written by Dayton Ward. And David Taylor, known as at Sci-Fi Commons on Twitter, who's also he's also at the Vegas convention. He approached Dayton about adapting the story as an original radio play under a Creative Commons license. So the chapters of the McCade radio show, they're broken up into about roughly 5 minutes, some a little shorter, some a little longer. Episodes, and they're available at scificommons.com/McCade.
Very cool.
Very cool. I listened to one of the chapters, and so far, I haven't listened to them all yet, because it was a staggered release. I think I listened the first day it was released, and it's pretty good.
I don't like to read.
You don't have, it's not reading.
Oh, never mind.
It's not like chapter books.
I know, I'm joking.
But yeah, it's pretty good. I hope we'll be able to have him on the show soon to talk about...
You'd like to have him.
On the show. To talk about Vegas, the Vegas convention, and this McCade.
Very good.
Radio show. So
very good.
That will be pretty awesome. And hopefully next show he'll be on. Tentative. Okay. So this next piece of news, the Trek Cetra Museum has officially opened on August 2nd in Vulcan, Alberta, Canada, displaying an array of stuff from...
Memorabilia.
Every time you mess a word up, I'm going to pull some hair off with this tape.
That doesn't even hurt. from the various Star Trek series... Don't waste my tape. I say that to kids at work all the time. Stop wasting my tape. The museum is located near the replica Starship Enterprise.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I saw some pictures online. I'll probably never be able to see it. I don't plan on going to Alberta, Canada, or Vulcan anytime soon.
Why not? Because it sounds awesome. Road trip.
I guess it does sound awesome. But yeah.
Is this a permanent museum, or is this kind of like a temporary thing?
From what I was reading, it's a permanent museum.
And what does it have in it?
Stuff.
Yeah.
Star Trek stuff.
Props. Memorabilia.
Yeah, it has props and things like of that nature.
Of that nature?
Marty, yeah.
That state? That configuration?
The state of being.
Molecular configuration?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice.
in Saturn News, a Star Trek guest star, Michael Anzara, passed away on July 31st at the age of 91 following a long illness. He is best known to Star Trek fans as the Klingon Commander Kang in the TOS episode Day of the Dove.
He also reprised that role in Deep Space Nine.
Yes, he did. With his ridges.
Yes.
With ridges, yeah.
And for Batman the Animated Series fans, he was the voice of Mr. Freeze.
Yes, he was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a great actor and also a great
voice actor.
So, yeah, I was really sad when I heard about this.
Likewise. So, next on the list here, have you ever seen Voyage Trekkers?
No.
No. What is this?
Marty, you've seen it with me last week.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I did. I'm sorry. It's the pain medicine.
So Voyage Trekkers is an online parody series. It has returned for a second season. It is a Trek-inspired sci-fi comedy web series about the worst starship crew in the galaxy, sort of along.
And when you say worst, they're the worst.
Yeah. Sort of along the lines of Galaxy Quest or the humor of Venture Brothers.
It's cool. Actually pretty funny.
It was very funny. Marty and I watched a few episodes, actually, last Tuesday after we recorded the interview with Dr. Sci-Fi.
Yeah, because we wanted to stay up late, like, recording a three-hour
well,
episode.
Well, I didn't, but Marty
Wow. Well, this looks really cool, actually. I'm going on their website. How long are these episodes, typically?
5 minutes.
Roughly that. They're not that long.
So they're like little skits.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
It might be more than 5 minutes, maybe 10, something like that.
Some of them are less, though. Some of them are really short.
Yeah, but it was really funny. I actually came across them because they filled out the form on our website.
Oh, wow, someone used that.
Yes, someone actually used it.
That's epic.
And it was these guys, I think it was the director of these Voyage Trekkers. And it was kind of cool to see them on there filling it out to let us know about it.
I think I know why they used the word Voyage.
Because Star Trek Voyager?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Marty.
Doesn't say anything.
One of these days.
You read into it whatever you want.
I
didn't say crap.
So you can see these if you go to voyagetrekkers.com. And I highly recommend it if you want to laugh. Definitely check it out.
I hate laughing.
Oh, man.
I hate it. So... makes my face crack.
In their latest episode, or one of their newer episodes, they have these lizard guys that are reminiscent of
Gorn.
The Gorn.
But they're really bad.
Nice. I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, definitely do that. It's definitely worth it.
Just for the uniforms alone. The uniforms are pretty...
Well, it looks like the uniforms improved from... I haven't seen any of their first season episodes.
They looked horrible, though, the pictures.
But the stills we saw looked terrible, and the second season had improved on that a little bit, at least from what we saw.
Cool.
Yeah. So, next we have Alex Kurtzman and Roberto...
Roberto.
Roberto...
Roberto Orci are in negotiations to write the third rebooted Star Trek movie. One
that didn't take long to get together.
Well, one of the writers who probably will not be returning is
Damon Lindelof.
Lindelof.
Thank you.
We should just read them for him.
please do. Just read it. Just take over.
According
anytime.
To unnamed sources.
Yeah, so who knows?
So according to somebody who nobody knows who they are and what their validity is in this, their accuracy, their ability to say true things.
Mm-hmm.
We may or may not see these two writers.
Well, just him.
Yeah.
He's the Trek umbrant in this writing team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I follow Damon. I don't know if the other ones
Lindelof.
Are on Twitter. But I follow Damon, and he has some kind of funny
Lindelof.
Funny tweets, if you guys have not seen them.
I have.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't really do the tweet thing.
I know.
Yeah. We know. We know.
As you know, I pretty much call it twits.
I do put out there for everyone to go and follow you. So you might get like, you might have like 20 billion followers now.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it.
At least one. Follow. At
you
least
probably have a lot of
I wouldn't have 20,000 followers if I won the lottery last night.
Yeah, you probably do have a lot of notifications because I do tag you.
I know.
A lot.
That's why I
say, hey, follow
ignore
us.
Ignore it.
Follow us. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. So next. This next one's kind of funny. I saw her today.
Oh, good Lord.
Actually, Marty might be interested in this.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, please.
A Star Trek cat tree with Enterprise and Romulan bird of prey was created by Instructables user HatStan4510 for their cat Savick to use. The cat's name is Savick?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
it actually looks pretty cool. That's what Aaron put. I didn't say that.
Well, wow.
You be the judge.
This does look cool. That's
holy
epic.
Crap.
Looks cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And Savick is definitely on the Enterprise.
Yeah.
That's a cute kitty too, actually. I have three cats at home.
I know, that's why I especially
that looks like Vera
for you. It looks like Vera.
Yeah.
I really like the piece of string that's going off
attaches
the Romulan warboard to shoot the Enterprise.
Oh, like a phaser.
No, I think
something.
That's more of a tractor
phaser.
Beam.
I think it's a phaser.
It looks like
why
a tractor
they, why
beam
would they
to
be
me.
Tractoring the It's a piece of string.
But why would
We're
it be
reading
a phaser
way too much into this.
Go back to your former statement. It's a piece of string.
If it was a tractor beam,
which it is,
there would be multiple points. This is just one single point.
You're a nerd.
he's an idiot. No, just kidding.
Martin
Hogan
vetoed off the escape pod.
Next up, Rob Picardo will be returning to Tales from Beyond 2, which is an original audio drama series based on the true events relating to hauntings,
cryptozoology,
UFO, and other paranormal activity. Another Star Trek alum joining the project is John DeLancey.
I didn't know there was a Tales from Beyond 1.
Yeah, I've heard of it, yeah.
I'm with Eric on this one. I never heard of it. But yeah, it sounds like it'll be cool.
Nice.
I do like Robert Picardo. I got to meet him in person. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he seems...
And the fact that he has Picard in his name.
Right. Actually, I don't know if... We might have actually talked about this before.
What?
But there's a Voyager, like behind the scenes of Voyager before Voyager came out,
mm-hmm.
where Picardo was hosting.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I bet the writers of the show were just sitting back in their office going, we'll never have another Picard. Oh, we'll never have another Picard. Oh. Wait a minute. Picardo. So that's how they... got him.
Riveting.
Yeah. Well, it's you can find it on YouTube.
Do you know what one of his earliest things, movies is, which I love?
Gremlins?
He was in Gremlins 2 he was in.
Yeah, Gremlins 2.
But, no, I was talking about Inner Space.
I love Inner Space.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Howdy, Jack.
He's also in an episode of The Golden Girls.
Playing
a doctor.
And he's probably best known for his roles in China Beach and The Wonder Years.
Yes.
Oh, he was the coach in Wonder Years.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is a complete
kind of different
360
his, yeah.
from, yeah, or complete
everything else he's ever played was, you know.
Kind of a nice guy.
Yeah.
And then Wonder Years.
The doctor kind of is a nice guy, but not a jock either, you know.
Right.
And that's funny. They had a Star Trek.
Howdy, Jack.
A Star Trek episode of The Wonder Years where they dressed up in uniform.
That's true.
That's great, Aaron.
Hey, I like The Wonder Years.
Bunch of useless information up here in my head.
That's why there's a lot of hair, a lot of fertilizer.
Okay. So, I don't know if you guys have seen this next thing on the internet, but it's been circulating. I thought it was hysterical. So, someone posted, I don't know where this is originally posted, so I wish I could give credit to the person who posted this, but it says, I think we need to invent a game called Shatner, where someone yells Shatner at you.
You're basically doing this.
And you have to overact whatever you're currently doing. Have either of you guys seen this?
No.
I have not, but I hope someone yells Shatner to me, because
Shatner!
Do it!
Exactly. So this looks, seems pretty fun.
Hey, my favorite impression of Shatner will always be the Family Guy episode where he goes to the Oktoberfest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say Sausage.
Yeah, I love Family Guy's interpretation of Shatner.
Star Trek. Yeah, and Star Trek. Shatner specifically, yeah. Where he does all these spastic moves.
Exactly.
All right, Aaron loves this.
So that's it for the news. Next
Remember,
up.
Trek Gnews is good Gnews.
Exactly.
What?
I don't know.
You ever watch Sesame Street?
Yes.
No Gnews is good Gnews. Yeah. With Gary Gnu.
I remember. But now it's time for Would You Buy It?
So
yes, I probably would.
Yeah. Eric, would you buy this?
It's already on my wish list.
And the fact that he said wish list gives it away. It's a Christmas thing.
So, I might get it. So it's
Might get it.
So what we're talking about is a book called A Very Klingon Christmas, spelled with a K. So it recounts in rhyming verses the treasured children's story of the birth of a revered warrior, Kalis, and celebrates the rich Klingon Christmas traditions originating on Kwonos and spreading across the Star Trek universe.
This is epic.
I don't know if Christmas goes with...
Kalis?
Yeah.
It's funny. It's obviously a parody.
They would have sacrificed the newborn baby.
I like this because it's in the same line as the Klingon Hamlet
mm-hmm. yeah.
and the other stories that they've done. So I think this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I really like the cover artwork as well.
Well, oh, yeah.
It's kind of I think it's kind of homage to the Norman Rockwell picture of Santa Claus.
I was going
to
say that, yeah, because even the font is reminiscent of the Saturday Evening Post.
Yeah, and I think that's where they got it from. Because I know there's one with Santa Claus standing with the...
Yeah, you're right. This is a total parody off that. I do remember that image. Ah, very nice.
Very nice. Very nice.
And it's at a great price, like $13.
$13.03.
Yeah, if you pre-order, yeah, that's the pre-order price. So that the Amazon guarantee if you pre-order it.
The regular price is $173.50.
I think it's only $3 more. It's $3 more, I
is
think,
it?
If $16.03? Yeah.
But 3 cents? Who comes up with 3 cents?
Well, it's
it's
discount.
Actually the list price is $16.99.
Yeah. Yeah, see.
So you save 23% if you pre-order on Amazon.com, shameless plug.
exactly.
But no, I seriously put it on my Amazon wish list.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's definitely better than some of the other Star Trek books that we've looked at.
I don't know if my wife will let me have it.
Well, maybe I'll get it for you for Christmas, Marty.
Sounds good.
All right. So...
Okay.
I guess that's three yeses to this.
This is a definite yes.
So, but if I hear the word Christmas again before, like, October, I swear I'm going to
massacre
somebody.
Oh, we're only,
4 months
away, though.
We're only 4 months away from Christmas.
Do you realize that they have Halloween stuff?
Oh, yes, I'm quite aware.
In the stores already?
I'm surprised they don't have Easter stuff out yet.
Easter?
Man, they want your money.
Easter. I also love Christmas. So, Christmas.
Yeah, I go
I love Christmas, too, but I just don't like it when it comes too early.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Bastards.
That is making it into an Escape Pod commercial.
Yes. So now I think we should continue our episode discussion of the Star Trek Next Generation movies.
Yes.
And we'll continue with Nemesis.
And it premiered...
Star Trek XXX? No, wait a minute.
It premiered... Hogan? On December 13th, 2002.
I remember 2002. It was a good year.
Indeed it was. So, yeah, so some talking points here. I found it unlikely that the Enterprise would be able to pick up a positronic signal from so far away. And I feel like they violated the Prime Directive by landing on this planet.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah, and then firing on the people. Wait, was it Nemesis that had Janeway?
Nemesis.
It was Nemesis.
Nemesis
yeah.
had Janeway.
Yeah, because I remember it was a movie
this
that
was
I just
Voyager. This is when Voyager ended, after Voyager ended. And she went straight to the Admiralty.
Yes. How nice, huh?
I thought she looked good as an Admiral.
Yeah, me too.
She's looking pretty hot as an Admiral.
I thought it was cool. The
I like the repertoire.
I
like the repertoire that her and Picard seem to have. They kind of had a banter. She's like, oh, Jean-Luc, you get all the easy assignments, like the Borg. And so she was kind of having fun with him, and he smirked at that. So I kind of like that interaction. I like when captains meet each other.
I had so much high expectations for this movie because we had John Logan. We had John Logan writing along with Brent Spiner writing, and we had Rick Berman writing for this movie. So I had high expectations.
Well, you can always have the best chefs in the kitchen, but if you have bad ingredients...
A lot of people blame the director because he never watched Next Generation and all that.
Yeah.
And then he didn't know the source.
Yeah, I don't think it was the writing.
No, I thought the writing was... It was an interesting story.
I like some of the things that they did with Nemesis, especially Picard's clone. I really like Shinzon. He was... well acted by Tom Hardy, who's gone on to do some amazing roles, especially as Bane. And this was one of his first roles, and I thought he did a great job as Shinzon. Mm-hmm. I thought he was an excellent villain.
Mm. Side point, he also dated Linda Park for a short time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hoshi,
yep. So yeah, I thought that was very interesting, that the Romulans were going to infiltrate Starfleet with a clone of Picard.
But it was going to be done years before.
It was going to be done before, and then they...
Yeah, it was done, and they kind of forgot about it, but that's kind of like the whole thing with the Tal Shiar. Yeah. Their plans take years. Mm-hmm. You know, it might not work. And if you think about the timeline when they created the clone, that was probably right in the middle or beginning of Next Generation when he started having run-ins with the Romulans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I had no problem with it.
Oh, no, I don't have... I'm not saying I have a problem with it. I thought it was really, weird.
Why would they pick Picard?
No, I know why they would pick Picard. I know exactly why they picked Picard to do it. It's kind of crazy to think about that this could have happened.
You ever heard of the Manchurian Candidate?
Yeah.
That's basically what it is.
But, I mean, imagine if they did do this during the series.
Yes, I can, because...
That would have been really crazy.
Yeah, I can, because Bashir wasn't Bashir for how long?
Well, yeah, that's true. And they had someone pretend to be Geordi.
Geordi.
Remember that? I forget the episode where they were programmed him to kill a Klingon ambassador there. Yeah. So, man, Romulans are crazy.
They've got the good plans.
So,
don't ask them either.
It's also, how did the Romulans get their hands on a Soon-type android? There are some explanations that exist, but they didn't make it to the screen. Yeah.
They were able to get Picard's DNA.
Mm-hmm.
I am sure that they could get the designs for Data.
Oh, well, this is supposed to be an actual prototype.
Couldn't they?
It was like the first prototype.
But couldn't they fake a prototype?
I'm sure they could have faked one.
But it wouldn't have been an actual Soon android.
If Starfleet scientists can't make a positronic net, I don't know if the Romulans would be able to either. I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying it's more unlikely that they would be able to.
Well, we don't know how many there were, the prototypes, anyways.
Right, yeah.
All we know was Lore, Data,
and now
there were others.
Yeah, and now we have B4. Yeah, because there were tons of different drawings of the crystalline entity at that planet where Data's from.
Yeah.
So they found drawings from other androids, like, you know, kids would be drawing. So I could definitely see before being one of the androids making these drawings.
Making a stick figure. No, just kidding.
That's what they were, I believe. They were stick figures.
They were.
And we also, in this movie, learn about the Remans.
Which were never really brought up before.
Never before.
And they all of a sudden bring them into the fact that they were part of the Dominion.
Right.
Which was never said before.
Right. Eric, did you like the Remans as a race?
Yes. I liked the... explanation that they were like a subspecies or, you know, a conquered race and, you know, that kind of hinting that they may have interbred with Romulans. And I really like the designs. I kind of like the Nosferatu type of design element that they had because they were on the tidally locked side of the planet, and it was always dark. Right. And I really liked that. And I liked that they had increased mental abilities, even more so than the Romulans. And I also liked that Enterprise used them when we got to see the Romulans, because they were used as shock troops. And we saw a couple Reman guards in Enterprise.
Really?
We did when they had the telepresent ships.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's the guy, the main Romulan on Romulus.
Yeah.
In the background, there's two Reman guards that are guarding him.
Same uniforms or similar?
Similar uniforms. Yeah.
Like that.
Go back and watch.
Yeah, those. I don't remember that.
That's. And when I saw those in Enterprise, I was like, yes.
Because it's funny because in forget about the episodes because they weren't around, but even in the beginning of that movie, there's no Reman guards in the Senate. It's all Romulans.
Right, well, the Remans are sensitive to light.
Yeah.
And it could be that they weren't allowed in the Senate.
Yeah.
Because they are looked down as a second-rate citizens.
I
thought they were interesting.
And I didn't like... Were you like the Nosferatu thing? I think it went too far. I think they should have been like, you know...
It's not like they were sucking blood or anything.
No, but think of it this way. Remember the Andorians?
Yeah.
The ones that were the underground ones.
Mm-hmm.
They were pale. Yep. They were blind.
Yeah.
All right? I can see doing that because that's kind of a subspecies.
Well, no. These guys, the Remans, they almost look like bats. And I remember reading a interview with Michael Westmore, who created all the cool alien designs that we've seen in Star Trek.
Yeah.
And he said that he was trying to bring like a bat-like appearance. Some like even their ears were kind of translucent.
Yeah.
And, you know, very veiny. It looked like they were a subterranean type of species that they just lived underground.
Mm. Right.
They're not like a subspecies, really. They're a different species that was
conquered.
They were conquered. Yeah.
A sub-citizen. Yeah.
Because remember, they're not originally from Romulus. Mm. They're from Vulcan. And then
the Remans
just conquered.
Were always on Remus.
Yeah.
I like the uniforms.
I didn't like their uniforms.
You didn't like the uniforms?
Well, I thought
like Dracula.
They looked okay on the Remans. I really disliked it on Shinzon. I really didn't like that.
Well, his was a little different.
But what else would he wore?
But his was different.
I don't know. I didn't like those shoulder pads or whatever they were. I thought they... I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way.
You know who I really didn't like them on?
Who?
The Zindi.
I thought they would look fine on the Zindi.
Anyways.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. My problem with the story is that he's supposed to be the clone that the Romulans created, right?
Yep.
And they sped up his... The whole problem with him is that he's sped up.
No, he was supposed
to
be
sped up. And somehow his inner makings, his DNA, something
he had
unraveling.
Like temporal RNA or something like that.
Yeah, because he was meant as to be an infiltrator, sped up to the point of aging where Picard is, do his mission, and die.
Yeah, I did like the ship, the Scimitar.
The ship.
Departure from the Romulan design.
That's because it's Reman.
No, I know that, but...
But we also saw a new design of Warbird,
which I like too.
Which was incredible.
I like the...
He hesitates, he doesn't like it.
I like the Warbird from... TNG better.
I mean the thing that's the size of a city?
I like that better.
No.
That's just a personal opinion.
And it's
cool. New Warbirds were just as big, if not bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't like these ships.
I just said I absolve you of that sin.
I just like the ones from TNG better.
Bless you, myself.
The Viceroy violates Troi's mind, this isn't the first time that she's been
violated.
Telepathically assaulted.
I think this one, though, went a little bit further than just a psychic violation. I think it was a sexual violation.
It
was heavily implied. It was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
And then she gets to shoot them.
When that first happens, I'm like, why do they write this in? That was stupid.
This.
But then towards the end of the movie...
When she uses it against them?
When she uses it against them, I thought hey, okay, I'm okay with that being
in
the movie now.
Around too. Yeah. When they did it the first time, you saw Shinzon or the Viceroy, and their eyes were like lit up with that like beam, that light on mm-hmm. their eyes, and she was like just there. When it flipped around, her eyes were lit up with that beam.
So we definitely see the relationship between Picard and Data in this movie.
Full on.
Almost. I don't know if I want to say this, but almost father and son, kind of, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Close enough to that, yeah.
I think it's about family moving on and progressing, mm-hmm. and all these four movies have the arc of the family theme, that they've been together so long that they're a family, and it's kind of like how in Voyager's later seasons it was the same way. Like, mm-hmm. we're a family. We've known each other for so long. We rely on each other. And it's almost like as these movies have progressed, Picard has matured into that father figure. And it's like he is the father, the captain of this family. And sometimes you have to let your family leave the nest, essentially.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a wonderful arc for Picard in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
I like the last 5 minutes when it's there. He's leaving and he goes out to the new... that's one of the deleted scenes that they put back in, remember?
Mm-hmm.
That he goes out and tells the new first officer.
They didn't put that back into the movie.
No, but it's in the you can see it.
Yeah.
And he tells him that he likes to be called Jean-Luc.
Right. Yeah. That was funny.
And by the way, did you notice that his first officer is the Mako from Enterprise?
I didn't notice. I don't remember though. And that's the scene where we get the seat belts. Yeah.
Which, by the way, is in Star Trek.
Into Darkness.
It's the same thing.
Well, yeah.
But it's almost more advanced than Into Darkness.
Yeah. Yeah. It's better looking.
Yeah, so that was interesting. We also have the relationship between Picard and Shinzon. It also, like, Picard, I think, wants to see him as his son in the movie. And
or his brother, like, replacing his brother.
Yeah, and I think he's... really torn. Him. Yeah, he doesn't want to kill him. And you see once he's dead, Picard's in shock.
And then he gets a double whammy with Data.
Yeah. Data.
So, other than reading the book when it came out before the movie, I found out that Data ceases to exist.
Right.
But I couldn't believe it. I didn't think they were going to do it in the movie.
Mm. I felt it was very Star Trek 2-ish, how they had the Data sacrifice himself. You know, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
But however, what you don't know, and they did put in the book, he transfers his mind.
No, he does do that in the movie.
In the movie, he does it too, but they don't show it, do they?
No, they do.
Did they show it?
Yep.
Into D4.
I watched the movie like the other day.
Okay.
They did it.
Another unique thing about this movie, in regards to when it was being made in the pre-production, a lot of the things were leaked online, and this was really the first time that movie spoilers became a big deal, because the whole script was leaked.
Yeah.
A lot of people were criticizing it, because I remember being very active on the Star Trek message boards at the time, and we knew the whole plot of the movie, like, a month or two before it even came out.
I remember that, yeah.
And it was really one of the first instances on the internet where, like, movie spoilers were a thing.
Yeah.
Mm. At least I can remember. That was, like, the big, like, that's when spoilers became a big deal, I guess.
Yeah,
right.
They didn't have enough time to rewrite any of it.
Yeah.
Right.
I would have liked to have seen...
The wedding on Beta Z?
Well, that's one. I would have liked to have seen more of the end, or more to do with before.
One of the things that I wish happened, where we have that scene with Picard in before...
At the end?
In his ready room. And he's trying to explain
what Data.
Who Data was. And then, as Picard's leaving, B4 starts seeing blue skies.
Blue skies, yeah.
I kind of wish he whistled "Pop Goes the Weasel" instead.
Yeah, but a lot of people wouldn't know what that means. It's not connected to the movie, and you got to remember your audience is the movie, not the.
True, but
yeah.
Riker says, "Oh, he was." I saw him, the first time I saw him, he was on the holodeck, he was whistling something, but I can't remember what it was. And then you have in the next scene before Whistle, you know.
Yeah, but
I wish they would have done that, because even for people who are just watching the movie and haven't seen all the Next Generation, it still would have tied in with, oh, so that's what Riker was referring to.
Right.
But for us, the fans, like, holy crap, that's Encounter at Farpoint.
Right, exactly. Mm. I think that would have kind of tied a nice little bow on it.
But there you go. Maybe because of the director or maybe whatever, continuity wasn't in it.
Right. And we also, speaking of the director, we have that scene where Riker's fighting the Viceroy, and then the Viceroy falls like
75.
And
even though they're supposedly on the bottom of the ship, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, what else do we have? Anything else with this movie?
So, Riker finally marries Troy.
Mm-hmm. Which we only see a little bit of.
Yeah, at the beginning of the movie, we see it. And we also see a couple of guest appearances.
Mm-hmm.
We have Guinan and Wesley, we have Crusher. Wesley, which was cool to have them in the movie.
And Worf is back again, making his normal...
Worf's back,
he's reassigned, though.
But he's assigned mm-hmm. to the Enterprise.
You don't have to explain anything.
Right, you don't have to make a make excuse to have him on there.
Wish I had vacation time like that.
Right. And I kind of wish Wesley got some lines in the movie. He was just there.
I don't know why. I think originally he was supposed to.
I'm sure they probably filmed something with him speaking.
That's why I wish whenever they do movies, when they do the, you know, the extended version, they always put everything in that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a ton, I don't care. I want to see what was the idea.
Right.
He would have been interesting. They should have talked to Troy. I mean, not Troy. Guinan.
Well, they did.
Kind of does, but...
Guinan talks to Geordi.
I thought it was Worf.
No, well, he's talking to them, and then Worf goes, Romulan ale should be illegal.
It is.
And then Geordi goes, it is. So what should we give
Picard
this...
Picard should have said, you know what Picard should have said, though?
No
kids allowed at the...
Yeah. So what are we giving this one?
This one here, I was going to give probably a B.
A B?
Yeah.
Okay.
B minus.
I will give
Aaron
this...
Aaron gives it an F.
I'm going to give this a C.
But it still isn't
plus.
The worst.
I'll give it a C plus.
It's still not the lowest rated movie.
Yeah, it's a C plus for me.
Insurrection is still the lowest.
Actually, Insurrection, watching it the second time, much better movie. In this movie as well,
watching it a second time.
Much better. Well, not a second time, but watching it so far from the first time I've seen it, because I've had time to grow to appreciate the series more and everything else that's involved in Star Trek.
You know what the one thing that I learned from this movie is, though?
What's that?
Don't ever put glass... No, don't put windows on the outside of... of a ship, like they did on the Scimitar.
When they have
the
Scorpion.
Yeah, right through. And those were smashes. The Scorpions were nice.
They were interesting.
They didn't make any sense, though.
No. What I want to know from you guys is, if there was a fifth Star Trek The Next Generation movie, what would you want to happen in that movie?
Muppets take Vulcan. No, just kidding. I don't know. A fifth one?
A fifth Next Generation. So with the
Here's what
next
I would hope it would
cast.
Be. A better movie. I would honestly like to see something to do with Riker and the Titan.
Riker and the Titan?
Yeah.
I would like to see them, just like what Marty said, Riker and the Titan, I would like to see them not ignore what has been happening in the book series and kind of jump ahead to where they're supposed to be now, quote unquote.
I don't read!
Right. No, just kidding.
But in the books, Picard is now married to Beverly Crusher.
Oh, good.
And his command style is a little bit different now. So he's... I wouldn't say more mature captain.
Is he a touchy-feely captain?
No, it's just a little different Picard than what the Next Generation. I would like to see them explore where they should be now, like whether that's 10 years from the last movie or what.
Mm-hmm.
Because the actors have clearly aged.
Mm. Right.
And,
well, yeah.
And I would like to see maybe the Titan in live action, like on the big screen. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I just want to see it.
But no crazy admirals. I'm done with crazy admirals in Star Trek movies. I'm also sick of people trying to get revenge on things.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're done with that. Like I would like to see a more cerebral Star Trek, I guess. Like going back to its roots. Like give me a moral, quandary, or give me something to think about, not just cool explosions. And I know that might not make a very exciting movie, but I don't know. Or even this, I would like to see them bring Q into the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We even talked about the idea of them merging kind of like a Deep Space Nine one in there somehow.
Yeah, I think that would work if you could combine the cast somehow.
Do a major, like...
Why not throw Voyager, Deep Space Nine, Next Generation, make it one big final hurrah for that era,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, some big epic thing.
Right, you could have Janeway's the captain. You can have her giving orders to something.
You mean Admiral?
Admiral.
What did I say?
Janeway's the captain.
yeah.
Really, didn't know that after 7 years of watching that show.
So she's an admiral now. She could be at Deep Space Nine giving orders to something. The Titan could be at Deep Space Nine.
The Enterprise E could be there.
Yeah, it could be
an armada.
A new Dominion threat.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, that would be great.
Or even a new threat, maybe since the Dominion...
8472.
I don't know.
No, I think their story's been resolved. As cool as it would be to see them on the big screen,
mm-hmm.
I think Voyager left them in a good place where they were okay with us.
They returned to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I think would be good is if the Dominion's kind of... now that Odo has joined the Link...
The clan, yeah.
I would say the Dominion is diminished in power. Maybe there's a new rise of another faction.
So like a power vacuum. What about Kanensny, or however you pronounce that, from the animated series? That like warrior cat-like race?
Meow.
Mm. Are they from the Gamma? Or that probably
no, I think they're a Beta Quadrant species.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the Tholians, because we saw how cool they were in Enterprise.
That's true.
Or the Gorn, even.
How about like the Breen?
Something.
How about the Breen?
The Breen. Well, they're from the Beta.
Beta.
Right.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying they were like part of the Dominion.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They're still
but
powerful.
But they're based here.
They still, yeah.
Yeah, they are still powerful. That's true. Oh, maybe the Breen are trying to invade the Gamma Quadrant, mm-hmm. and we're trying to stop
them. Oh, so like a reverse takeover. They're trying to do a reverse takeover.
That'd
be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I always wanted to see, because Deep Space Nine kept implying this, that since we were exploring the Gamma Quadrant, we were setting up bases there.
Yeah.
I would like to see more of that. Like, what are our efforts in the Gamma Quadrant?
Hmm.
Or what...
They kind of really skipped over the Gamma Quadrant.
Yeah, they did. Once the war started, it was more about the Gamma Quadrant invading.
Yeah.
But
and then once
it
Voyager
seemed like,
came around, it was more about Delta.
Yeah. Or what they could do is maybe they could go back to the Delta Quadrant like what they did in the novels.
Yeah.
Like some kind of expedition.
Can they take Janeway with
them? That's what I want. I want Star Trek to go back to
exploration.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want, like, epic enemy battles anymore. I want this? Some good old, like, science quandary or
how about
something.
This? Mm-hmm. Star Trek, exploring the nether regions of the galaxy. Wait a minute.
The nether regions?
Sorry, wrong word.
They're going to all the alien strip bars in the galaxy.
Captain Kirk, we've got a mission for you.
I'm sure they
He's
do.
Like, I'm on it.
I'm on them. I oh, mean, I, I'm on it.
I've been
I'm
there.
On it like green on an Orion slave girl.
Another thing that I would like to see is the resurrection of Data in B4.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they were setting that up, and they in the comic series that was leading up to the first Star Trek reboot movie.
Yeah, Data is like fully back.
Yeah, that B4 basically became Data.
Because of all the memories that...
And that led up to the reboot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Star Trek. Before.
How did that lead up to the reboot?
Well, they released the... I think they were called... It was called Countdown. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it has nothing to do with the actual...
But it does.
But it does?
It's pretty much canon.
Yeah. I got to read them.
They basically say it's canon. Actually, someone uploaded a motion comic that they created out of the Countdown series, which is online.
That was pretty epic.
That was epic. I suggest looking at that. I did post... I posted the link between us.
Just the two.
But yeah, that was pretty cool how they did that. And the Star Trek Online kind of continues the events after the destruction of Romulus, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're kind of going a little bit different from the pocketbooks, which I consider more of an official take on the universe. But they are tying some of that in, but some of it contradicts with what pocketbooks is doing. And I'd rather follow what pocketbooks is doing because they have some great Star Trek writers that have been with the franchise for years.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
The I haven't played Star Trek Online, even though it's now free to play. But I don't like the uniforms. I think that's what's keeping me back. They changed the uniforms
a lot. In the game?
In the game, yeah. And actually, they changed the uniforms in the Countdown series as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I
got to look those up.
Yeah, and they also, the Enterprise-E had holographic consoles. Like
they go for that hologram. Oh, crud.
Yeah.
See, that's that whole thing with the, what do you call it? The view screen, remember that? It
was from First Contact.
Yeah. It was holographic instead of...
Well, they changed that in Nemesis, obviously.
Yeah, went back to the other...
I don't have a problem with holographic consoles. I think they're just using that technology to further advance. They're just incorporating more of it. And plus, that means you could have a holographic emergency medical hologram on every...
It could be, like, in the console. Hello!
And then no one pays
attention.
You
could come up and, like, smack him in the face.
Why doesn't anyone turn me off?
I love that.
Yeah. So, yeah, any other ideas of what you would like to see?
I hope someone high up in Paramount or CBS is listening to this and takes every idea that we have. But, no, I would love to see another Next Generation movie at least one last time, even as a miniseries on Netflix or something. I just, I want to see Picard, you know, all the guys one last time before they get any older.
Star Trek, the next generation.
Yeah, because...
And it would have been great for the 25th anniversary this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Or the 50th coming up for the whole thing.
Oh, for the entire franchise. That's true.
The whole shebang.
Yeah, because Nemesis wasn't really a good final...
It was a good movie, but it was a letdown.
Yeah, it wasn't a good
bookend. It wasn't a good send-off.
No.
Yeah.
Even though they tried to make it one a little bit towards the end with some comments, but...
Right.
That didn't make it up for
me. They spent about 5 minutes on that, and that was it.
I always thought that they were trying to make it a Star Trek 2 / Star Trek 3 kind of reboot, remake.
Well, they might have been at the time.
Yeah.
But then it tanked, and that kind of blew any franchise dreams out of the water.
Right.
Is there any character in the Next Generation, or even Voyager or Deep Space Nine, and this goes for you too, Eric, that you would want the movie to base around?
Like,
whereas we had
character.
It like the central character... For most of it was Picard and Data.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you want it to? Would you want that to change?
It probably has to. I wouldn't mind seeing it focused on the Titan with
Riker
and a new character.
Like a second in command.
A second in command. Yeah.
I'd like it to focus on Barclay.
Interesting note, which would be awesome to see if they go with the tie-in. In the pocketbooks and in the Tyan novels, the Tyan is touted as one of the most diverse crews in all of Starfleet. They have practically every alien member of the Federation in the crew. So their doctor is essentially this huge sentient velociraptor, essentially.
Really?
Yeah, it's epic. Like he's from a saurian dinosaur species that's sentient, and he basically looks like this huge talking velociraptor. Yeah,
that
and
people would freak me
people,
out.
And people get scared of him, and that's the thing. People get scared of him, and they're like, whoa, you're the doctor? Like, I don't know about that.
He's going to spit that stuff at you.
Yeah.
And it's great because they also have, oh gosh, I forgot her name, that had the anti-gravity braces in Deep Space Nine.
Oh, her, yeah.
She's on the time.
Okay.
Cool. So they have one of the most diverse crews in the Federation.
Nice.
And I would love to see that in action on the big screen.
Yeah, that would definitely be cool. The guy who designed the Titan is on DeviantArt, and I have...
He won a contest, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I remember that one, yeah.
Yeah, so check out his work. I'll put the link in the show notes for you guys to look at.
My doctor's a velociraptor, and my dentist is a fly. What?
But he actually liked one of my designs for Starship designs, which was pretty awesome. He like favored it on DeviantArt, nice. Which I was like, oh, cool. He has like a ship design that's like basically official, and he just liked my design. That's awesome. I thought it was cool.
It is cool. It's very cool.
So yeah. So why don't we get into our social media questions?
Social media questions.
What is your favorite TNG movie and why? So on Twitter, we have at JaffaStar. Mine is First Contact, I think because it was the first Star Trek movie I saw at the cinema.
We have a youngin.
Next, we have at 005, who says First Contact. I'm not a big fan as I was before, but it doesn't make me want to not watch it. It like the others. So, yeah, he is
not
a
want to watch.
He's a contributor on Trek FM. I'll give them a shout out.
All right, at Little Cute Girl 86 says, I like Nemesis because of the action, and Data taking his life over Captain Picard was pretty emotional. I can agree with that.
Yeah, this was the first time she's ever watched this movie, and she cried.
Oh, you know this person? Oh. No, just kidding.
Yeah,
she cried.
She cried when when Data sacrificed himself. Yeah. She cried.
All right, on Facebook we have Eric Dewey of the Four-Eyed Radio Network.
Yes,
Florida. Anyways, I know I'll probably catch hell for this, and you probably will. But my favorite TNG cast movie is actually Generations. I love the passing of the torch, so to speak, and Malcolm McDowell made a great villain. Well, I liked Malcolm McDowell. I don't know if it was the best because of the crew or the cast, but that's a good perception on it.
Right. Next, on Google Plus, we have Joshua Mason, who says, Star Trek First Contact was the best TNG show. The best TNG movie. The Borg were my favorite enemy. It was very intense and a good example of the morality stories that Gene Roddenberry wanted Star Trek to contain. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that, Joshua. Next, we have Clifford Quatlander. First Contact. It managed to summarize everything that made Star Trek such a good show. It had a good plot that made good use of the Borg as a villain, and it also managed to bring out another side of Picard, which was true because he got really pissed and smashed all of his little ships.
No!
Next we have Bill. Sorry, I'm not going to try that last name.
Sawesky.
Okay, thank you.
No. Yeah, Sawesky.
Okay. First Contact.
Yeah, we've gone over this.
First Contact as well as my all-time favorite Star Trek movie. Jonathan Frakes did an amazing job directing that movie, and I agree. Frakes should have directed Nemesis.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion.
That would have been a nice kind of tie to, you know, all the movies.
Right. Next, we have Rita Brown, who says, I gotta go with First Contact as well. James Cromwell was great as the reluctant hero slash genius and Alfrey?
Alfrey Woodard.
Willard?
Woodard.
Sorry, stumbling on my words. Helped add tension to an already exciting, on-the-edge-of-your-seat story on the Enterprise. And Patrick Stewart was exceptional, as always. I agree.
Well, when is he not?
That's
well, speaking
true.
Of which,
it's true.
Have you seen
Jeffrey?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I know of it. That's it. Next, we have an email submission from Clive. Let's power through this. If you want to read it, go ahead.
Clive Burrell says, as part of my run through all of Trek, I just watched these four over 4 days. The shame is that from a writing, direction, action, heart, character, and production point of view, are there any other views? First Contact is the landmark standout. The whole cast gets something to do, and it's huge in its scope. But the biggest problem is that it shows up all the weaknesses with Generations, Insurrection, and Nemesis foremost. The point that they feel like extended episodes, as I've said before, mm-hmm. and you have too, and right. Eric has, for the most part, with the final two running at just about an hour and a half each, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
On a rewatch through all of them, all of them have their good and bad points, but anything that came after First Contact was always going to be in trouble and have to deal with the comparison. The trouble with Nemesis boils down to an over-familiarity of the material, as Spiner and Stewart were involved in production and John Logan was a fan who perhaps loved the movie too much and didn't stay focused slash missed the boat. Stuart Bard was also unfamiliar to the crew after Frakes had directed the previous two, which won't have helped. Anyway, I digress.
Not really.
First Contact just has everything a fan would want. Time travel, a new ship, new uniforms, the Borg Queen, awesome music, great effects, endless list of great things. But in time, will it actually become the best of both worlds of the TNG films and become legendary, overhyped, even though it is good? P.S. Voyager Animaniacs? Can't you see this as a real possibility? Oh, from last...
From the other show.
Yeah. On an occasion, it was one step away from that anyways. Yes, I could see Animaniacs being Voyager. Anyways.
So, thank you, Clive. As always, you have... Blah.
Great,
my brain died.
He has a great insight to this stuff.
Yeah, you always have a great
so Aaron,
thing.
What put your,
wow.
What put your quantum state into flux?
Tell us.
In Star Trek Nemesis, Data uploads his memories into B4. Data says he's doing this in hopes that the added experiences would help B4 expand his original programming. This obviously is to foreshadow a resurrection similar to Spock in Star Trek 2/3. In the comic series that leads up to the release of Star Trek 2009, B4 becomes Data, with all of his memories intact. My issue with this is the Star Trek The Next Generation episode, The Measure of a Man, Data fights for his freedoms and is worried about the flavor of his experiences being lost if transferred into a mainframe. By transferring his memories into B4, Data took away B4's rights to evolve on his own because he felt it would be in his best interests. When the rights he helped fight for prevent this from happening.
Mm.
I have to agree with this. You pretty much hit the nail on the head.
The only thing I disagree with, because I read this while you were reading it.
Yep.
And A Measure of a Man, they want to transfer all his thoughts and into a mainframe.
Yep.
Mainframe is different than an android.
Mm-hmm.
It would be. So there might be the difference in the two.
Well, that would explain the flavor of the moment, possibly.
Yeah.
But not the basically overriding before.
Yeah, he's essentially taking another possibly sentient android and overriding him. And I think that's unfair for B4's rights, and it's kind of hypocritical of Data, you know, to spout his rights, but take it away from another android.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we can contribute that to bad writing from John Logan or bad directing, but I don't think it was right.
Well, I think it is the writing, not the directing, because the directing would be how it was presented, not what was presented. So I think it's the story.
Didn't Brent Spiner have a say in this?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's also one of the writers of, mm-hmm. of the story.
Yeah. What I'm hit by is, one, in the comic. Now, mm-hmm. B4 doesn't have the emotion chip.
He's probably... Oh, wait.
No,
are
because
there
he's
any
a
emotion chips
no.
left?
Because it's a previous model.
So Data was destroyed.
With his... No, I thought he gave Geordi the emotion chip in Nemesis, didn't
no.
he?
I'm not...
No, because he couldn't shut it off. He still had it in his head, Nemesis.
No, I thought I remembered something where he took it out and gave it to Geordi, or he left something behind.
But I can tell you this. I can tell you this. He could have, before he went to the deck to jump out of the ship, he could have put it in... B4.
Yeah, anything. Well, not in B4, but he could have...
Given it to Geordi.
Technically, he could have taken it out, although I think it's fused in his positronic net.
Mm-hmm.
So
generations it could fused.
Wait. According to Memory Alpha, by 2373, Data was able to turn off his emotion chip off and on at will, blah, 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 Star Trek First Contact. A way was eventually found to remove the chip, and Data left the chip behind on the Enterprise-E prior to his mission to the Baku in 2375 Insurrection. Boom.
So he was able to leave it behind. That's really weird to me, though, that he would be able to...
And I didn't think he would take it out, either.
Here's another thing. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to interrupt. It says, a deleted scene in the two-disc special edition of Nemesis... had Geordi LaForge and Worf going to Data's quarters to remove some of his items near the end of the film. LaForge took Data's emotion chip, and Worf took Spot, Data's cat. That's how I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
So it was that lead scene.
I've never seen that. I have a bad disc, I guess. Oh, I don't have the...
Disc. It's the two-disc special edition.
That's the one I don't have.
Yeah, I don't have it either.
I have all the two discs... sets,
all the way
the
up
collector
to...
ones, except for Nemesis and, I want to say, Star Trek V.
And, it says in the comic book series Countdown and the Star Trek Online game established that prior to 2387, Geordi LaForge installed Data's emotion chip into B4's neural net. Hmm. This is what caused the uploads to B4 by Data to fully reactivate, allowing Data's full memory and personality to assert itself, essentially resurrecting him. So it was because Geordi put the emotion chip into B4 that kind of kick drive the resurrection. So boom, that's how we got it. I still think it sucks though, because that's essentially killing B4.
Right.
Yeah, there wasn't much to him anyways.
Well,
I'm not trying to be mean, but there wasn't
like
much.
He was like a child.
Right. So I don't agree with it either.
I don't as
because
well.
You know, who knows? I mean, B4 could have evolved eventually on his own given enough time.
And into something better.
Yeah, something possibly. Separate from Data, which is kind of interesting. So B4 probably has B4's memories.
And Data's.
Has Data's. It also has Lal's memories.
Yeah, because those were in Data.
Because Data uploaded those memories into him.
So it could even be more than just... I mean, but theoretically, if it has B4's and Data's, it's even more than Data was originally.
That's true, but if Data's personality totally asserts itself, then we're still losing something from B4. Otherwise, Data would have some weird, like, multi-personality disorder or something.
It's a schizophrenic android.
Yeah.
And we don't want
I'm a schizophrenic,
that.
And so am I.
And he's the captain of the Enterprise in the Countdown series.
He's the captain?
He's the captain.
Yeah, he's the captain of the Enterprise E.
And he's called,
what happened
he's
to,
called
what's
Data.
His name?
Picard is an ambassador, I believe.
Ambassador to Vulcan.
Yes. Yeah.
So
boom!
He...
I know this stuff.
But that's funny that Data would be the captain.
Well, who else?
I think it's great.
It could have been Geordi.
I guess, but Geordi becomes captain of another ship eventually.
Yeah, his own.
The Challenger.
Yes.
And he's also in the Countdown series. In the Countdown series, he's the one that made the jellyfish in the jellyfish ship in Star Trek 2009.
Oh, he's the one that made it?
That's what it says in the Countdown series. And then the Vulcans...
Modified it. Of course, because they think they're better.
Well, they modified it to carry the red matter. And
they've explained what the red matter is.
They give it a name, and
it's a MacGuffin.
It's what?
It's a MacGuffin.
A MacGuffin?
Yep.
What the hell is that?
So
it's a plot device it's a term for a plot device used in movies that solves all the problems.
They call it a MacGuffin?
That's the official term, yeah.
Sounds like a mulligan to me.
But we talked about it in one of our episodes when we were discussing the Romulans, I believe.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the Romulan power source is a quantum singularity. And then we were like, oh, maybe it's the red matter that they use to create this, and that's how. Mm-hmm. But anyway... So
Data is the captain of the Enterprise.
Data is the captain of the Enterprise. And he's not called before, he's called Data. So
Captain Data?
Captain Data. Because he would then have to be given back his rank, because before wouldn't be able to rise up the ranks that quickly.
Right, so he'd have to be reinstated.
Right.
Yeah. Just like or Spock. Apply for reinstation.
Just like Spock was.
Right. Yeah, so it's basically... Star Trek 3.
Yeah, they didn't want to rewrite anything. Come up with anything original.
Well, I mean,
it's a different one.
They wanted to do something that I think was reminiscent of something that they've done in the past, but in a new kind of way, which could have worked, but it didn't, obviously, in the movie franchise, at least.
Well, we are going to go 50 minutes talking about
That's a lot of flux. No.
A lot of flux. So... That was good, guys.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
So, yeah.
I agree with you as well.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. I'm Aaron.
I'm Marty.
And I'm Eric.
See ya.
It's trekking time.
It's trekking time. Trekosaurus. I don't know.
You have been listening to the Starfleet Escape Podcast on the Four-Eyed Radio Network, where you can catch a new episode every other Monday. You can find us on the web at sfescapepod.com. Follow us on Twitter at sfescapepod. Like us on facebook.com/sfescapepod. And add us to your circle on Google+ by going to google.sfescapepod.com.
This has been a proud production of the Four-Eyed Radio Network. Check out more shows on 4eyedradio.com. Beam me up, Scotty.